Deutsche Welle, Africa Link.
And a very good morning to you on this Wednesday, the 3rd of February. Welcome to Africa Link. I'm Mark Caldwell in Bonn, Germany. Coming up, the Zika virus, which has been linked to a surge in the number of brain-damaged newborn babies. We hear what Africans are making of this global health threat.
I don't think that people really know about the virus, let alone even me personally. I don't even think we understand what it is all about.
It might even take a minute or a second to reach here.
Beginning point is education.
And another public health issue, underage smoking and substance abuse in Zimbabwe. Why is it happening? What could be done to discourage it?
This is all caused by the lack of jobs. If we had jobs, we would not be smoking and taking these drugs. If we had well-paid jobs, no one would really bother with taking drugs.
Also on our program, a former ally of Liberian President Ellen Johnson Sirleaf has been found dead on a beach. Stay tuned to this edition of Africa Link.
Top story.
The United States has reported its first known case of the Zika virus, with local health authorities in Texas saying it was likely to have been transmitted through sex and not through a mosquito bite. The news came just one day after the World Health Organization, the UN health agency, declared an international public health emergency over the virus, which has been linked to several thousand birth defects in Brazil and is spreading rapidly in the Americas. There are fears it could spread to Africa, and we take a look now at how one African nation, Rwanda, is responding. Nasra Bishumba reports from Kigali.
The UN agency has already warned that the Zika virus could rapidly spread to Africa and Asia, the continents with the highest birth rates in the world, sending most people on high alert. However, many Rwandans are not aware of the virus, which has hit people in the Americas hard. Dean Karimera, a local resident in the capital Kigali, says he needs more information about Zika.
I don't think that people really know about the virus, let alone even me personally, because from the little that I understand, you know, if, for example, my wife is pregnant, should I run to the hospital right now? Do we have vaccines? There are measures of protection against it. Where I'm thinking of people who are probably in rural areas who do not follow these things on a day-to-day basis. Do they know about it? Because I think they are probably like the ones who will be, if anything happened, they're the ones who will be affected the most. I don't even think we understand what it is all about.
Julius Bizimungu shares the same concerns. He says that he knows much more about Ebola than he does of Zika and thinks that the government of Rwanda should work closely with the people to prevent the virus.
Yeah, of course I'm scared. Why not? If I know how it's being spread, it might even take a minute or a second to reach here. Just like the way Ebola was, Zika might be also like that.
The virus has already been reported in the West African nation of Cape Verde, sparking fears of further outbreaks in Africa, a continent which is already battling other mosquito-borne diseases like malaria. The spokesman for the Ministry of Health, Nathan Mugume, told DW that his government was planning to raise awareness about the Zika virus.
The beginning point is education. So now we are going to embark on an awareness campaign, sensitizing the people. This is the nature of the disease. This is what you can do. This is how you can prevent it. This is what causes it. You know, we give all the details that can help people basically to know what they should do in terms of prevention.
Mugume also says that to avoid surprises, the government set up a surveillance team and system that is equipped to follow and register what is trending in the health area all over the world on a daily basis. This, he says, helps to determine if there's an outbreak and if the existing system can handle it or if there's any need for a new one.
We've always had like our national surveillance system. The Ministry of Health have an implementing agency that is called the Rwanda Biomedical Center. So within the Rwanda Biomedical Center, there's a division like monitoring all these outbreaks. So on a daily basis, they compile information, you know, what is happening in South America, what's happening somewhere else. So they provide updates, then we share updates, then we say, okay, if this is happening, so what's the next step that should be taken?
Health experts say that the Zika virus was first detected in a monkey in Uganda in 1947. A year later, it was isolated in an Aedes mosquito from the same region.
Nasrat Bashumba in Rwanda. The WHO says it is gearing up to combat the microcephaly outbreak in Latin America. Microcephaly is a medical condition which causes babies to be born with abnormally small heads. It is linked to the Zika virus, which was first identified in monkeys in Uganda in 1947, as we've just heard. The first human case was detected in Nigeria in 1954. There have been further Zika outbreaks in Africa, Southeast Asia, and the Pacific Islands. It's feared, as we've been hearing, that this latest outbreak could spread to Asia and Africa. To find out more about what's being done about the disease in Africa, Jane Ayeko turned to Abiodun Ifoloa from Babcock University Teaching Hospital in Ogun State, Nigeria. She asked him first how seriously this new health threat was being taken in his country.
Well, at the moment, Nigeria is battling the effects of Lassa fever. And however, in spite of the attack or in spite of the threat being posed by Lassa fever, the Nigerian government has raised an alert, sensitized the people to the awareness of the fact that there is a virus called Zika virus, which is a potential threat. Also, the federal government has issued restrictions on pregnant women traveling towards Latin America.
Now, since you say that it is not at the same scale as Ebola would be, you say that government is already undertaking certain measures to sensitize the public. Does it mean that Yes. there is no need for a big information campaign to the scale of what the government did during the Ebola epidemic?
There is, basically because in spite of the fact that several awareness campaigns are being made, not everybody will see here about it. However, we can't rule out the place of preventive measures. We do not want to wait till we have the first victim of Zika virus in the country before we actually learn our lessons like we did in the case of the Ebola virus.
And how seriously are other governments in your region taking the threat?
Government is taking it serious, although they have the unheard destruction of Lassa virus at hand too. One thing we also need to realize is this. The Zika virus is being transmitted by an uncommon species of mosquitoes, which is the Aedes species. Routinely, we have Plasmodium falciparum species here in Nigeria, not the Aedes species. However, it just needs one person, a Latin American country, who has been infected to come into the country and put every other person at risk.
Now, is there any collaboration between the governments in your region and World Health Organization in terms of setting up campaigns to fight the disease? What have you seen so far?
On our own end, as citizens, we might not be seeing much. However, the daily newspapers are bringing up stories. We've seen headlines indicating that the Federal Ministry of Health and the World Health Organization are working in collaboration to try to see how to isolate the mosquito itself so that they prevent a spread.
Now, I mean, the Zika virus is certainly not new, having been first detected in 1947 in Uganda. And until now, it was considered a relatively mild disease until the recent outbreak in Latin America. Now, how relevant is this Ugandan link in efforts to try and stop the disease from spreading to Africa?
Well, we need to realize one thing. Zika virus has also been recorded in Cape Verde, which is also close to Nigeria. What that means is that all it needs is for an outbreak to occur in any African country. Every other African country gets at risk of it.
Abiodun Ifoloa of Babcock University Teaching Hospital, talking there to Jane Ayeko.
News, analysis, and feature reports. All that's here on Africa Link.
In Liberia's capital, Monrovia, Harry Greaves, a former ally of President Ellen Johnson Sirleaf, has been found dead on a beach. Now, this is not another public health story. We are reporting on it because some people in Liberia feel his demise could be suspicious. Greaves' death follows two other recent unsolved fatalities, those of lawyer Michael Allenson and Nigerian banker Dan Oregon. However, the Liberian government denies any suggestion of foul play. Daniel Nayakuna has been gauging the mood in Monrovia in the wake of these mysterious deaths and looking at the government's response to them.
Monrovia is still in a state of shock just days after the former managing director of the state-owned Liberia Petroleum Refining Company, Harry Greaves, was found dead on a beach near President Sirleaf's office. According to police sources, Greaves had been dropped off at a nearby hotel on Friday evening, asking his driver to wait for him. He was later found on the beach with his belongings scattered. Liberia's government has commissioned a criminal investigation into the death of Greaves. Justice Minister Benedict Sanon told reporters that a Nigerian pathologist, John Obafemua, will be brought in to conduct the autopsy. He also warned the media to stop speculating about the death.
Any conclusion on the cause of death of Mr. Harry Greaves in the absence of a thorough forensic examination is at best speculative and grossly irresponsible, especially when made on the radio and posted on social media.
The death of Greaves is, however, one of several unsolved deaths of high-profile Liberians in the past few months. The speculation over Greaves' death is primarily due to Greaves' criticism of the government's energy policy. He has called for energy to be prioritized to lower electricity costs. One Monrovia resident expressed his worries.
What are we saying? Are we saying if you speak?
What are we saying? Are we saying that if you speak on critical national issues, your body will be found? Or is it another form of witch hunting by the government?
And now we are becoming very much scared.
Another resident feared that insecurity in Liberia, in general, will rise with the current withdrawal of the UN peacekeeping mission, AMIL.
So why if AMIL leaves?
So why if AMIL leaves? What happens to us as ordinary citizens? It means that if you walk in the streets of Monrovia in the morning, you will see four or five people dying or already dead. Whatever happens to security will be shocking.
What happened to our security? It's shocking.
President Ellen Johnson Sirleaf herself also commented on the case and dismissed any claims that the government had a hand in it.
We have many critics, but critics are not enemies. In this case, a full investigation of an independent source is required because we all want to get to the bottom of it. I've asked the Minister of Justice to try to get either the US or the UK to give us a team that would really come and do a thorough investigation so we all can know.
President Sirleaf and Harry Greaves have a common history. Both of them were very active in the anti-corruption and pro-democracy movements in the 1980s and 90s, which led to the Liberian Civil War.
Daniel Nayakuna in Monrovia. You're listening to Africa Link, coming to you from Deutsche Welle in Bonn, Germany.
Behind the headlines.
Zimbabwe is struggling with many problems, from economic woes to drought. There was also some more bad news when the World Health Organization revealed that drug consumption and substance abuse by young people in Zimbabwe was on the rise. Those young people include children who are still at school. From Harare, Columbus Mafunga reports.
A recent survey by the WHO revealed that 20% of Zimbabwe's youths between the ages of 13 and 17 are smokers. Dr. Lovemore Mumbengeranwa, who heads Zimbabwe's Health Services Board, sums up the findings.
This informs us that our youths in schools in Zimbabwe are using tobacco, and this means we should enhance our capacity as a country to rapidly design, implement, and evaluate tobacco control and prevention programs. This will save lives, reduce illnesses, and help reduce the economic burden associated with tobacco-related illness and lost productivity.
Smoking and selling tobacco products to people under the age of 18 is prohibited in Zimbabwe. But from the findings of WHO, it confirms that the laws in place have not helped the situation. With Zimbabwe's economy deteriorating, shop owners are going against the law by selling cigarettes to the youths. Bongani and Patisani, not their real names, not only smoke cigarettes, but take drugs. The two from Nketa in Bulawayo are 16 and 17, respectively.
There are also tablets you can take. They're meant for people with mental health problems. They give you courage. They're tiny and yellow in color. You also get white ones. You get them from the mental health hospital, so people go there and buy them. They're meant for patients, but we also take them.
This is all caused by the lack of jobs. If we had jobs, we would not be smoking and taking these drugs. If we had well-paid jobs, no one would really bother with taking drugs.
He says there is no hope even if he passes his examination, given Zimbabwe's unemployment rate, which is estimated to be around 85%. Public health specialist Shungu Munyati, who headed the WHO-funded research in Zimbabwe, says there's need to ban teachers from smoking within school premises as they are role models to most children. But that is not all.
Youth smoking, it's associated to all the different lifestyles in terms of smoking and therefore drinking, then taking risky behaviors. Risky behaviors leads you to exposing yourself to issues to do with HIV, AIDS, sexually transmitted infections, and so forth. So the whole cycle just continues. And the youth, when they experiment on smoking, they also do smoking, then they also take the other hard drugs as well. So the whole thing, you know, needs to be looked at. And we need to have programs that are really highlighting the dangers of smoking. The other thing is that smoking and the effects of smoking needs to be really strengthened in terms of the curriculum and the school health policies. And then the other thing is that the law needs to take its course in terms of the legislation and enforcing that legislation so that youth don't have access to cigarettes. Because right now they can buy cigarettes whenever they want. Nobody really asks, what age are you?
Experts say smoking tobacco at a very tender age exposes one to death and illnesses associated with tobacco, such as lung cancer. The government is concerned with the latest WHO findings on youth smoking in Zimbabwe.
Columbus Mafunga reporting.
Listen to Africa Link whenever you want. Sign up for our podcast at dw.com/AfricaLinkPodcast.
And on this edition of Africa Link, we stay with public health concerns. We've already heard about the risk of the Zika virus spreading to Africa. In Ghana, the Ministry of Health and its surveillance team are on high alert after an outbreak of pneumococcal meningitis. So far, 50 people have died and there has been a surge in the number of cases recorded. The Ghanaian government has ordered free treatment for sufferers. Maxwell Souk reports.
In the last few weeks, 50 people have been confirmed dead by Ghanaian hospitals due to pneumococcal meningitis, a disease caused by the inflammation of the protective membrane covering the human brain. The disease is spread through droplets from coughing or sneezing. Ghanaian health authorities are therefore urging people to cover their mouth or nose when sneezing or coughing in public areas. Abu Akrachi works with the Ghana Health Service as a surveillance officer in Tamale.
Anybody who is entering a bar should at least respect the cough etiquette.
You don't just sneeze openly like that. You have to cover your mouth and sneeze. You don't have to cough just like that. You have to cover your mouth and cough. Because at that maturing moment, nobody knows who has it.
Most pneumococcal infections are mild and simply cause a bit of fever, coughing, headaches, or a stiff neck. However, if left untreated, it can be deadly or result in long-term problems such as brain damage or hearing loss. Yet, Disease Surveillance Officer Abu Akrachi says that the authorities are prepared.
There is no panicking because I think all the health facilities are aware of what is happening now. They are alive to their responsibilities. At least they have stocked one drug or the other to surmount any unforeseen circumstance if it does occur.
Many Ghanaians remain worried both about the disease itself and about the protection measures. Safia Musa is a mother of two.
These innocent children, you don't know who might be affected and how your child could get contracted. So even you as an adult, if you can take precautions, what about the innocent ones? Because for children, they don't know anything and they mingle with everybody.
Northern Ghana falls within the meningitis belt. Every dry season, where temperature rises rapidly, cases of meningitis are common. One critical protection is people should avoid sleeping in overcrowded rooms during the hot season. Another precaution that is difficult for people living in cramped conditions. Dr. Bampo, Deputy Minister of Health, however, told a local radio station that the ministry is providing logistics to fight the epidemic.
When this thing came up, there were three things that were done very quickly. Number one was that the minister authorized that 150,000 CDs be sent to the affected. The district health management teams, the regional health management team, quickly got on the case. They started to provide the resources to deal with it. He also authorized for 1,500 vials of a certain antibiotic that is used to treat meningitis to be sent to the affected areas.
The World Health Organization has also pledged logistical support to fight the outbreak.
Maxwell Souk reporting from Ghana.
Opinion.
And in Opinion this week, we return to our story from Zimbabwe about underage smoking and substance abuse. We heard this public health official summing up the problem.
Smoking and the effects of smoking needs to be really strengthened in terms of the curriculum and the school health policies. And then the other thing is that the law needs to take its course in terms of the legislation and enforcing that legislation so that youth don't have access to cigarettes. Because right now they can buy cigarettes whenever they want. Nobody really asks, what age are you?
What do you think about this issue? Do you think the Zimbabwean government is to blame? How can this problem be best addressed? We also reported on the threat of the Zika virus spreading to parts of Africa. And we heard about measures the governments of Rwanda and Nigeria are taking. Do you think African states are prepared for a potential outbreak? What else can be done? Let us know your thoughts on these stories either via text message to country code 49160957595510, by email to feedback.africa@dw.com, or a letter to Africa Link, DW 53110, Bonn, Germany.
For more about Africa Link, go to dw.com/AfricaLink. Find out about Africa Link's partner stations. Send us your feedback in a text message and sign up for our newsletter, dw.com/AfricaLink.
A reminder of our top stories before we leave you. African countries have started taking measures in the wake of the threat posed by the Zika virus. We've also been hearing about substance abuse by young people in Zimbabwe and how the government in Ghana is seeking to tackle an outbreak of meningitis. Remember, if you want to get in touch with us, you can send an email to feedback.africa@dw.com, a letter to Africa Link DW5. 53110 Bonn, Germany, or an SMS to country code 49160957 59510. And there we come to the end of today's programme. Do join me again at the same time tomorrow. This is Mark Caldwell in Bonn.